Reliable socio-economic and political practices have jeopardized our society. In the face of these affairs, which have kept our society at the brink of collapse, information remains the deal breaker. Foundation Radio, in its strive to remain the voice of the voiceless, has embarked on the incisive investigative reporting and analysis to reshape our society and give it a moral face. Join our reporters in the news magazine program News Extra, a one-hour news production intended to uncover striking societal concerns and demystify them. Get the deepest understanding about your economic, political, and sociocultural issues in News Extra. News Extra on Foundation Radio every Saturday from 7 to 8:30 a.m.
Foundation Radio. Our society has been wrecked by economic improprieties, political maneuvers, moral decadence, and debasing sociocultural practices. In the face of these vices, which have kept our society at the brink of collapse, constructive information remains the deal breaker. Join our formidable team of reporters on News Extra with incisive investigative reporting and analysis tailored to reshape our society and give it a moral face. News Extra is a production of the news service of Foundation Radio that uncovers striking societal concerns and demystifies them. Get the deepest understanding about economic, political, and sociocultural issues in News Extra. News Extra, your window to constructive criticism.
Foundation Radio. Welcome to another edition of News Extra on Foundation Radio, FM 100 Bamenda, Cameroon. The program brings you news, interviews, and commentaries on salient news happenings in Cameroon in particular, then Africa and the world. In today's edition, Cameroonian rural women express their plight. Do they have access to financial support as their male counterparts? Why is the fight against fake, illicit, and contraband drugs failing in Cameroon? These and more, including what is on the minds of Cameroonians this week in today's edition of News Extra. Input from Priscilla Ninge, Lem Sandra Fomujang, Atanga Atanasios, Lanza Vela, and Christopher Fogwe. Tendong Julius and Bayere Waters are assuring technical authority. And for presentation, I am Mokun Johnny Nelson. Exceptionally, and for some unexpected circumstances, we are starting this week edition without the traditional week in retrospect. We thank you for your understanding. And so we start with this first paper on the International Credit Union Day. Every October 15 is commemorated the world over as the International Credit Union Day. This has been so since 1948. This year, the theme is people helping people. But in the paper that follows, Lanza Vela tells us that credit unions in Cameroon nowadays have rather strongly divided people. The argument is around whether or not their operations, services, and interests are still predicted on their objectives.
The International Credit Union Day is celebrated every third Thursday of October to raise awareness about the contributions of credit unions to societies. The theme for this year's celebration was People Helping People. It vividly highlights the advantages of people coming together for a common purpose. In Cameroon, celebrations took place at a time when people are beginning to question credit union business, expressing disappointment at the fact that most of them are out to make gains for themselves than alleviate poverty, as is their prime objective. Many weep over the idea that the aspect of credit unions giving out loans to their customers on trust is fast dying down, as most credit unions now demand heavy collateral securities before loans are issued out, making things difficult for an average person. But to this, credit union experts argue that this is just to play safe, given that a lot of people have taken loans which have not been recovered because they had nothing that could cover for in case it ended delinquent. Other members of credit unions argue that the interest rates for loans are so exorbitant that an average person would not even want to dare dreaming of getting a loan. And that even when the loan is given out, the conditions tacked to it are those that will make payback difficult. Even though some people think that credit unions nowadays have failed in their objective, others still maintain that they are a blessing. We have stories of very successful business persons who started a business with low interest loans from credit unions. Against some opinion, there still exist credit unions that give out loans on trust and go a long way to drawing up business plans for clients who want to invest loans in businesses just to be sure that the money doesn't go down the drains. And those, of course, are the credit unions worth the salt. It can therefore be concluded with little or no doubt that the credit union business, just like any other, is being bedeviled by selfish individuals who are out to make personal gains. But nonetheless, credit unions in Cameroon are still in their own little way, contributing to poverty alleviation.
Madame Achu Caroline is the manager of Taricon Cooperative Credit Union Takul. He told Lazon Vela that her institution was still playing the traditional role of the credit union with loans especially available to rural women.
Talking about accessibility of finances to the rural women for the agricultural sector, Taricon Credit Union has put in a lot. For example, we know that the rural woman is limited. We want to collect loans but will not have access to legal instruments. Taricon Credit Union has gone a long way to bridge this gap by looking for social collaterals for these members. They come along, they form groups. In their groups, they support each other. Taricon Credit Union finance them in their groups, and in their groups, they supervise the financing, and as the members go along, they do the business, they are still supervised, and the repayment come in, and both parties have the benefit.
The recurrent complaints we've been getting from most of these rural women for the past years is that the banks do not trust them enough to be able to give them loans. How do you solve this problem?
Yes, like I said before, you know, financing somebody as an individual is different when you put them in collective groups like 5, 6, 7, and even 10. They come along, we look at their needs, we see the products they want to go in for, we look at the duration, we give them loans in a group. That even makes the loans even cheaper for them, because the charges are shared among the five members in that group, and the interest is paid by the five members of the group, and they support each other, they do the farming, they harvest the crops, they sell, then they are able to pay back the loans. Just to re-emphasize to the rural woman and the farmers in particular that the Taricon Credit Union is a panacea ready to solve their problems and to save them from these loan sharks that want to devour all their profits when they sell their products, that their doors are open and waiting for them to come over for any transaction.
We hope that the transactions are beneficiary to both parties. Every now and then, the Cameroonian public is alerted to the dangers of resorting to drugs of doubtful quality sold by street vendors and unauthorized drug stores. Christopher Fogwe is not convinced that the sporadic seizures and destruction of alleged contraband drugs by government authorities will make much more an impact on a line of business that has its market base, the huge population of impoverished Cameroonians for whom the cost of conventional healthcare services is highly prohibitive. Here is his report.
Once again, the issue of illicit, contraband, or fake drugs circulating in Cameroon has featured in the news. From time to time, reporters from the media and press organs are invited to see special committees charged with stamping out the illicit or contraband drugs, setting ablaze huge consignments of such drugs. Such consignments are usually estimated to be worth millions of CFA francs. Here in the Northwest region, the special committee charged with stamping out the contraband business is headed by the governor himself and consists of the regional delegate of public health, top officials of the security forces, and the regional boss of the customs department. The drugs destroyed during such campaigns originate mainly from out of Cameroon, given that Cameroon is not yet equipped to fabricate or manufacture drugs. The drug destruction exercises are supposedly intended to penalize the dealers and to protect Cameroonians from risking their lives by consuming drugs of doubtful or dangerous sources. Given that the illicit drugs are imported into Cameroon in large enough quantities to supply wholesale dealers like those in Maché Mbopi and Maché Central in Douala, and considering that Maché Mbopi, in particular, operates pretty much like a clearinghouse from which dealers from across the country and from neighboring states come to obtain their supplies, one wonders whether government is truly sincere in its claims to be waging a war against illicit drugs, even as it collects taxes from the border as well as inland transactions that drive the illicit drug business. Whatever the case may be, the circulation of the continuously available illicit drugs will continue to be appreciated in Cameroon, where 40% of the population live below the poverty line, and where the cost of the services of the hospitals and pharmacies are relatively prohibitive and are only resorted to by most Cameroonians when the chips are really down. Otherwise, why would one expect some villager living 25 or 30 kilometers from the nearest health center or hospital hesitate to gamble on the paracetamol available at a village general supply store than go all the way to town to see the doctor who will probably prescribe a more appropriate painkiller sold at the pharmacy at an exorbitant price? It is not only the poor Cameroonian who buys his drugs, especially the generic ones, from the market store. Some of the pharmacy attendants and hospital nurses who indulge in parallel drug peddling obtain their own supplies from the well-stocked drug stores operating unperturbed in our main markets. Ironically, it is usually the small street vendor or quarter dealer who is usually targeted. During the sporadic campaigns to seize and destroy the drugs they buy from big-time dealers in well-stocked main market stores where they sell the same illicit drugs with impunity. The recent news reports stating that Cameroon has embarked on a project to set up a drug industry for manufacturing essential drugs could turn out to be a more effective way of reducing the cost of health care and of rigorously tightening up our borders in order to bar the entry of drugs that will compete negatively with the made in Cameroon ones to be produced in our expected factories.
Quenty Davison Achu is the Northwest Regional Representative of the Cameroon National Board of Pharmacists. He is also the promoter of Professional Plaza Pharmacy here in Commercial Avenue, Bamenda. News Extra's Lem Sandra Famujang sought to know from him why the fight against illicit drugs in Cameroon was not yielding any positive results as the war between non-conventional and conventional pharmacies and pharmacists rages on. He starts by clarifying the role of a pharmacist.
Well, before I start defining the role of a pharmacist, I want to tell you who a pharmacist is. I want to say that a pharmacist is somebody, be he male or female, who has graduated, who has done the professional pharmacy course and has graduated from a renowned university. That means he's done 5 or more years studying pharmacy in a renowned university and has graduated with a university degree. And when you graduate with a university degree, you are just known as a pharmacy graduate and you are a pharmacist. But in order to practice the profession of pharmacy, like here anywhere in the country, you have to undergo an internship. For example, when we came back from school, the Cameroon law asked us to have an internship of 5 years, but I did 6.5 years with the government before coming into private practice. And if you did six, I say after 6.5 years, I got registered. I had to apply to the presidency at the time, and the president authorized me to open a community pharmacy in Bamenda. So, if you want to look at the role of the pharmacist, as you've just asked, the pharmacist is like, I say the pharmacist is just like, who look at, like, the jack of all trade, because if you want to go professionally, the family, first I'll look at the role of the pharmacy as a professional, and I look at the role of the pharmacist as a person in society. As a professional, the pharmacist is the one who, depending on his education, his role can be defined depending on where he's working. If he's working in the hospital, his role is very different from being in a community pharmacy. And if he's working in an industry, his role is very different from the community, from the industry. But again, the pharmacy as a social person, because this is one of the persons who get into contact with different types of people, sort of people in different aspects, be in community, be in the hospital, industrial, or anywhere. So I want to say here that in the hospital, the pharmacist is one of the persons whose duty is to supervise dispensing of drugs. Compounding can be done. Compounding of certain drugs, only now that many drugs come already pre-packaged, pre-compounded, with advanced technology, drugs can already package, already put into package that ready for use. So the job of the pharmacy, the compounding job of the pharmacy, is it now becomes outdated. So no more, there's not a lot of compounding going on. But at the hospital institution, the pharmacist is just doing the clinical job, just like the doctors. When the doctors prescribe, I'm saying what is obtained where I was trained in the U.S. When the doctors, they have a round with the doctors to see the patients together. They talk about the diseases together and decide on the treatment of the patient. The pharmacist, in this case, will select the appropriate products for the doctors to prescribe for that patient. Again, the pharmacist in the hospital will do drug monitoring. They monitor for side effects, efficacy of the drugs, and compliance. And then they advise the patient, the doctors, and their relatives how well the drugs can be taken. That is the role of the pharmacy in the hospital. It all depends on where the pharmacist is working. His role is defined according to the institution.
And so, if, given that there are many pharmacies in town, and you have clandestine medicine store sellers, and it happens that a good number of persons prefer going to these medicine store sellers to get prescriptions instead of going to the pharmacy, and it has gotten to an extent that the Ministry of Public Health has even sent text messages to people's phones to warn them on the disadvantages of buying drugs from these street sellers. So what can you really say about it?
Well, I want to say that I'm glad to say that I hear from you that the Ministry of Health sent text messages advising the population not to buy drugs from street vendors. My first is, who has to control the street vendors? It's not the same government, the Ministry of Health. Ministry of Health, if they find out that the street vendors or the street drugs or the drugs in the market are a danger to the health system of the country, they have to use they can contact the Ministry of Administration, the other ministry, and they get together and put an end to this practice. It is deadly. What the Ministry of Health is saying is that it is that's a warning. What is a warning? But without explaining to the people why they have to, they do not buy their drugs on the streets, will not make any sense. First of all, it is the rule of the government to protect the health of her citizens, of her population. If the government allows this to go through on the street, if government were able to ban Zwa and destroy Zwa, caught the people, arrested those who were selling Zwa, why can they not do so with drugs if the government is really realistic in the fact with what they are saying, that if they found that the street drugs are bad? I am talking like this because I definitely say that the government has to blame because of their failure to reinforce the laws, pharmacy laws. It's the parliament that passed this pharmacy law. The pharmacy law says that no person can operate any carry out any activity that involves drugs when the person is not being authorized, who is not a qualified graduate from a pharmacy school, who is at the same time being trained, graduated with a pharmacy degree, trained, and have been authorized by government to handle drugs. But if you have all quacks going around and the government sends text messages, to how many people can they get these text messages and ask? If you go to the Bamenda market, right? Does the council not collect rent from those who sell drugs? Does the council not collect money from those who sell drugs? They collect the rents, right? They collect the rents. Why can the Minister of Health not work now to close those unauthorized medicine stores if they are really out to help the to safeguard the health of the population? That is the question I'll leave with you, with journalists. On the whole, again, I would say that the Minister of Health, this thing is a multi-sectoral affair. We need the Minister of Finance. We need the custom. We need the police. We need territorial administration. We need all ministries seem to be implicated, because the Minister of Health cannot go and order the armed forces to go and go up and then try to play the role. Order the armed forces to go down and fetch out those people who are illegally practicing the pharmacy profession. The medical profession is the same. We have everybody now training nurses. Nurses are trained in the kitchen. Laboratories are next to, you have a clinic occupying an apartment where people are living, and the clinic's laboratory is next to the kitchen where the population, they are cooking. And you find that I visited one and I saw they were doing stool tests at the corner there. The woman, the other side, was making his achu soup. I said, "Where God, what have we done that people will abuse medical practice like this?"
Quentin Davison, Achu Northwest Regional Representative of the Cameroon Order of Pharmacists. Drug sellers contacted or refused to talk to us on whether or not their activities were legal. Illicit drugs, in any case, are deadly. World Food Day is celebrated every October 16, the anniversary of the Food and Agricultural Organization, FAO, founded in 1945. Though the 2015 theme is social protection and agriculture, the concern with food security is still preoccupying. Atanga Atanasios was on the streets of Bamenda, inquisitive to know how food vendors ensure the food items they sell are safe and fit for human consumption.
The question of if we eat to live or we live to eat came up because food is a necessity which every living thing needs in order to grow. Mammals, reptiles, and humans use their mouth to eat, while plants use their roots and leaves. Therefore, it is because of this important role food has to play in the life of a human being. That's why we have slogans like "No food for a lazy man," "A hungry man is an angry man," and the list continues. But now we ask the question, if it is anything we can chew, swallow, and get satisfied, we call food. The length of time somebody lives on this planet Earth is greatly influenced by what and how he or she eats. Some social critics say it is because Cameroon has got enough for its citizens to feed on. That's why they will never go on the street, no matter the maltreatment they get from the authority. If that be the case, fine. It means for the next 200 years, Cameroonians will never strike according to projections. They have enough to eat, but how safe is what they consume as food? It is against this question and more that the United Nations thought it wise to dedicate a day for food known as World Food Day, commemorated every October 16. Though there were no major activities in Bamenda to commemorate this day, Foundation Radio, being the voice of the voiceless, took a microphone down the streets of Bamenda to find out from the market women how jealously they prepare what they sell to the public as food. Down the heartbeat of the city, call it the Bamenda Food Market, the women were ready to tell us how they prepare their market items and where they sell them in relation to sanitary conditions.
I sell okra in food market. No, I don't prepare. I just come to the market and go down to the park and buy it. I sell it like that. I don't wash it because I know you must. When you go to my house, you wash it before you cook it. So they don't wash okra.
I sell cabbage. So before we sell the cabbage, when they bring it from the bush, we just take it like that. We open the bag and we just started selling it like that. We don't wash it, because when you wash cabbage, before selling it, it will got rotten. So we just sell it just like that. When you buy it, then you can go and wash it, then slice it, and then you prepare it.
Okay, like this kanda way at the sell. This one is the common yaounde, na yaounde kanda this. When the one sell for me, they already born them. I still take them now. I go house, I use sawdust, I burn them again, soak them inside my big pot, I sleep inside water. When they break, I scrape them, I wash them. I use iron sponge, I wash them very well.
That is for those who sell raw foodstuffs, which will certainly be cooked before consumption, except for the case of salad. This group of market women, for the sake of the fact that the food will be cooked before consumed, may be forgiven, though they openly said they do not wash the okra, cabbage before selling. Who does the cleaning of where they sell?
No, council used to clean them. The one way you see the tea owner say na play where they be put the tea for container for the tea. So they don't can carry them. So the one remain for down now. Them get to come clean them, take and go.
So I do it me myself. I alone. Then at the road side, the council will sweep and then will carry the dirt.
We could still find a heap of rubbish just across a dirty and smelling gutter in front of where they sell. A swarm of flies feasting on the rubbish and using the tomatoes, okra and cabbage as their resting place. How disgusting that sounds, but it is the reality on the ground. If one were to ask why they sell in that type of environment, they would certainly say, the council has not provided cheaper shirts or black man who die dirty. What about those who sell ready food, which could be consumed on the spot? These women were ready to talk.
I'm selling ice cream to the market. When I come first in the morning, I have to send the machine outside, then clean the inside, wash it all before I mix the ice cream and put it inside.
When I come to the market in the morning, I go to where they sell the oranges. I buy my oranges. I come, the first thing I do is that I have to wash them very well and then put them into either a wheelbarrow, a clean wheelbarrow, a clean tray. Then I wash my hands very well before peeling them, because when you peel them with dirty hands, they'll be black and they'll not be good for consumption. So I have to peel them and preserve them in a clean tray or a clean environment in such a way that I can be selling them for my customers.
I sell folere, juice, I out. This folere, I boil them. Mix our pineapple. Just flavor, can't say.
When we press on to ask where she collects her containers, she bluntly refused picking the containers from gutters and says her water source is the best.
I need to pick container. Plenty times I'd go to Brazil, just go buy my container. But when they don't get that expire memory, so they move and throw it. I go buy container. Plenty times I go buy my container. I never work and pick me.
Anyway, we never expected her to say she picks the containers from gutters and carries the water from doubtful sources. The truth is, no matter how we try to protect what we eat, only God has the final say, because nobody will be that protective to make sure he works the farm, harvests, processes, and cooks. We should be careful with what and how we eat, for it determines how long we live.
Atanga Atanasios there in that report. Professional guidance and counseling for sustaining a better output for students is the theme of the 13th edition of the National Guidance and Counseling Day, celebrated on Friday, October 16. On the sideline of government-organized activities, the Mankon women under the banner of the Nkaanikwi went visiting a number of schools in Mankon to share their success experiences with their students, just so that it serves as a motivating factor. Experience, according to the Nkaanikwi women, is the best teacher. Priscilla Ninge was part of that tour.
Taking it to a root, as the past years have proven, the contribution of the Nkaanikwi women's group cannot be overemphasized. As far as the education and protection, as well as the economic empowerment of girls and women, is concerned. Reason why? On this year's National Counseling Day, they all took out time to visit Government High School Mankun, Government Technical High School Alabukam, and Government Secondary School Alati to orientate the students, especially the young girls, on lucrative professional choices as well as identification of their potentials. The president of the association, Madame Dinah Mantobang, now explains the raison d'etre for the visit to these schools.
Kanikwini Mankon is an association of Mankon women with a shared vision. One of our objectives is to improve the knowledge base of the girl, child and woman in Cameroon. That is why we are here today, which is National Counseling Day in Cameroon. And we are here to counsel, advise, and orientate our children, our students in this school, on career opportunities in Cameroon. And we are doing this in collaboration with the National Employment Fund in the Northwest and with some of the counselors of the various schools. So we are carrying out this counseling and orientation in GHS Mankon, GTHS Alabukam, and GSS Alanki. We are telling these children that they should comport themselves well, they should behave well, especially the girls, because Kanikwi is focused on the girl child. So our target group is women and girls, and we are telling the girls especially to be upright. They should have self-control. They should study well, because when a woman is successful, the community is successful, and the country is successful, and there is meaningful development, not only in the community, in the family, but in the country as a whole.
As hardworking as the women are, they made it a point to remind these young girls that though they might not be at their schools to guide them all the time, they could reach them through their contacts and through email addresses they had provided.
We are a group of women who are professionals. We are from different walks of life. We are working, so we don't have time to follow up. We tell them to go to the various experts. We tell them where to go to have that information. And if they can't go there, they should meet us. We have given our contact number. We have given them our email. Our website is there. They can always contact us.
The girls who were the focus of the orientation on this National Counseling Day, which has as theme professional orientation in schools, said they had been given good counsel and were sure to make better professional and career choices.
My name is Quincy Dolly. I'm a student of Ops at precisely LA2. This program is very important because I've learned, at first I was confused of what I'm going to become in future, but they've really educated me on what to do. So now I've decided on what to do. I've achieved something because I've learned. I was confused of becoming an ambassador or an accountant, but now I'm already certain that I'm going to become an ambassador, precisely either in Britain, Germany, or the United States of America. Thank you.
Like, this program today is very educative for me and my friends. I never knew that the Mankon Women Association was that to educate girls. Like I saw on the program that they posted yesterday, it's really an exciting thing for me because I learned many things that I was confused on what to do in the future. Like, I want to be a journalist, but actually I don't know my field, but I've made me to know what I'll be and where to go to. So I really appreciate the Mankon Women for their integrity and their concern for girls in particular. Thank you.
À propos de la journée d'orientation dans notre établissement scolaire, vraiment nous étions ravis parce que ces femmes nous ont parlé de ce que nous pouvons être dans notre futur et ce que nous devions faire. Elles nous ont donné certains conseils que nous devons faire de l'abstinence et nous ne devons pas être indisciplinés à l'école. Donc vraiment nous, ça nous a plu et moi déjà j'ai déjà pu choisir ce que j'aimerais être dans mon futur. Magistrate, je veux être magistrate.
Et pour parvenir à cela, comment tu vas te comporter?
Selon le conseil que la dame qui est responsable de ce truc. Elle nous a demandé de continuer jusqu'à l'université. Parce que pour être magistrate, il faut avoir la licence à l'histoire et tout ça.
Et son comportement maintenant par rapport à la vie du dehors?
Non, moi je n'aime pas d'abord la vie du dehors. Parce que la vie de Bamenda d'abord ne nous permet pas de faire cette vie-là. Ici, là, c'est un bon cadre pour les études. Ici, si c'est que tu veux fréquenter, tu vas réussir en paix.
The principal of GTHS Ala Abukam, which was one of the schools visited by the Nkanikwini women, was very impressed by the gesture of the Nkanikwini women, which goes a long way to support the guidance and counseling team that the school already has in place.
I want to thank the Nkanikwini women of Mankan for finding time out of their very busy schedule to join us here on this National Day of Guidance and Counseling to talk to our children and teachers. I want to think that the lessons they dish out to the children, especially to the girl children, is going to go a long way to encourage them in their process of learning. Certainly, with the knowledge of career orientation and the different specialties in the school, these children will be able to become successful tomorrow and find the necessary jobs.
Also present at the event was representatives from the National Employment Fund, who reminded the students that their doors were always open to guide them on job opportunities. Mrs. Judith Awondo, the coordinator of WA Cameroon, which stands for Women in Action Against Gender-Based Violence, also had a presentation in all three schools with a message to the girls to be responsible, avoid promiscuity, and do regular checkups to ensure success, not just in finances and wealth, but also in healthy living. Though much emphasis was on the need for these girls to focus on good career choices, it should be noted that the National Counseling Day comes just one day after Rural Women's Day, which was on October 15. It was also a reminder to young girls that there is much to achieve in the agriculture domain as far as wealth, health, and success is concerned.
Priscilla Ninge, we hope that the young girls are empowered to follow into the footsteps of their mothers, of the Nkanikwi women.
There are people who can walk away from you, and hear me when I tell you this. When people can walk away from you, let them walk. I don't want you to try to walk another person into staying with you, loving you, calling you, caring about you, coming to see you, staying attached to you. I mean, hang up the phone. When people can walk away from you, let them walk. Your destiny is never tied to anybody that left. The Bible said that they came out from us, that it might be made manifest that they were not for us. For had they been of us, no doubt they would have continued with us. People leave because they are not joined to you. And if they are not joined to you, you can't make them stay. Let them go. And it doesn't mean that they are a bad person. It just means that their part in the story is over. And you've got to know when people's part in your story is over so that you don't keep trying to raise the dead. You've got to know when it's dead. You've got to know when it's over. Let me tell you something. I've got the gift of goodbye. It's the 10th spiritual gift. I believe in goodbye. It's not that I'm hateful. It's that I'm faithful. And I know whatever God means for me to have, He'll give it to me. And if it takes too much sweat, I don't need it. Stop begging people to stay. Let them go. If you're holding onto something that doesn't belong to you and was never intended for your life, then you need to let it go. If you're holding onto past hurts and pains, let it go. If someone can't treat you right, love you back, and see your worth, let it go. If someone has angered you, let it go. If you're holding on to some thoughts of evil and revenge, let it go. If you're involved in a wrong relationship or addiction, Let it go. If you're holding on to a job that no longer meets your needs or talents, let it go. If you have a bad attitude, let it go. If you keep judging others to make yourself feel better, let it go. If you're stuck in the past and God is trying to take you to a new level in Him, let it go. If you're struggling with the healing of a broken relationship, let it go. If you keep trying to help people who won't even try to help themselves, let it go. If you're feeling depressed and stressed, let it go. If there is a particular situation that you are so used to handling yourself and God is saying, take your hands off it, then you need to let it go. Let the past be the past. Forget the former things. God is doing a new thing for you. Let it go. Get right, get left. Think about it and then let it go. The battle is the Lord's. Next, stop and think and appreciate God's power in your life for doing what you know is pleasing to Him. Yes, I love my God. He is my fountain of life and my Savior. He keeps me going day and night. Without Him, I am no one. But with Him, I can do everything. Christ is my strength. This is a simple test. If you love God and you are not ashamed of all the great things that He has done for you, send this to everyone you know. God loves you and watches over you every day.
This is News Extra on Foundation Radio, FM 100, Bamenda, Cameroon. I am Mokun Johnny Nelson anchoring. Rural women the world over were told that the theme of their day celebrated on October 15 was access to financial resources in the food and agricultural sector. While appreciating the efforts by the Cameroon government to support the activities of rural women, Christopher Fogwe believes that women's motivation to produce more will be enhanced if a number of factors are taken into consideration, including rural exodus and farm-to-market routes.
The World Rural Women's Day is celebrated on October 15 of every year. It was instituted in 1997 by the United Nations through the initiative of many female non-governmental organizations that met in Beijing in 1995. This year's edition of the World Rural Women's Day, which falls within the context of the proclamation by the African Union of the year 2015 as the Year of Women's Empowerment, provides an appropriate framework for the popularization of the strategy and promotion of rural women's access to credit. And that explains why the theme for this year is Rural Women, Access to Financial Resources in the Food and Agricultural Sector. Through the 20 years during which the World Rural Women's Day has been celebrated, the Cameroon government has taken advantage of the occasion to inform the rural women on government-sponsored projects and programs that are likely to offer them the services they are entitled to reinforce their capacities in the areas of rural entrepreneurship, protection of the environment, adaptation to climate change, transformation and conservation of food and agricultural products, and the drafting of bankable projects. It is evident that here in Cameroon, where 40-something percent of the population lives below the poverty line, access to credit is challenging, if not beyond the reach of the average Cameroonian who lives on a hand-to-mouth existence. The situation is even more daunting for the rural women surviving on the meager returns of subsistence agriculture. Even so, Cameroon is generating enough natural resources from its rural sector to feed the fat cats and business tycoons of the big towns and to enrich the crafty middle women and men who buy farm produce from the rural women at giveaway prices to sell for a substantial margin of profit to consumers in big towns and out of Cameroon. There is no doubt that the plight of the rural women can be ameliorated considerably if the political will to include them in an inclusive national development program guided by a spirit of equity, social justice, and equal opportunity is deployed. The rural folks in general, and the rural women in particular, can definitely benefit from access to financial resources and may even prove to be better credit risks than some of the crooks in town who siphon people's bank deposits dry by obtaining loans that they don't pay back. The ongoing government programs of lending a maximum of 100,000 francs CFA to groups, not to individuals, of rural women to execute rural projects are welcome initiatives. Such small loans may contribute to some degree to the payment of children's school fees and the buying of some medications, but not for much else. Poverty is no doubt a nagging problem in the rural sector, but what is by far the most worrisome problem to the rural folks is the rural exodus by the youths to the towns. When the youths quit the villages in their numbers to settle in towns, many village folks, especially the women, are no longer motivated to produce more agricultural produce than they need to keep themselves alive. They will much rather have the government supply them with the electricity that will make life worth living in the village, especially for the youths who will have the power to run some of their power tools and gadgets and to be connected to the global village and its pleasures. Above all, the rural women will be more motivated to grow and produce more from their farms if there are the farm-to-market roads to enable them evacuate their produce and transport them to their consumers in town.
In Bamenda and Mezam division in particular, the rural women gathered at the esplanade of the Bafoud Fonds Palace to both decry their marginalization and showcase their strength. I don't know if Priscilla Ninge is a rural woman, whatever the case or whatever rural women imply, she is a woman after all. And so was part of that occasion presided over by the senior divisional officer for Mezam, Felix Ngele Ngele.
Though the theme might not be understood by many of these mothers and women in our rural communities, it is obvious that from all the hard work and agricultural activities they carry out, that finance and sustenance is at the forefront of this hard work. So fitting a round peg into a round hole is just like the theme for this year, Rural Women's Day, which is access to financial resources in the food and agriculture sector. A day which featured exhibitions of cash and food crops produced by the rural women at the Bafoud Palace Plaza. Though the women had a lot to showcase, like maize, beans, yams, cassava, and its secondary products, groundnuts and potato, just naming a few, the women didn't hesitate to explain the difficulties they face in the cultivation, transformation, and transportation of their crops.
It's this side will come also for mankind. We royal women, they really face challenges because of the roads. We have very bad roads. Then the next thing is that we even work our food, the crops that we work, we are not able to even sell them because of the bad road. We don't even have any road that is leading to the farm. Oh, like all these things that they are coming, they help in Bafut like this. We don't have the opportunity because of the bad road. The people only pass through the tar road. They don't come to our own site.
As the day it look good and it be fine, because if they organize the kind of thing we will know so if we benefit from, it will be fine. Because we mostly face plenty difficulties then for up there for farm work. So if you be say they every year they make all the organizations, so that means it will be fine for all we will deliver for upper section then.
Okay, now the first time do you attend them?
Yes, now my first time is to attend the culture, so I don't ever attend them.
You bring your farm produce them?
Since I know be really, since I know be attend me the meeting, so I know be really know how the culture it will look like. So now for fear I can't see the things and where we get to bring, and so I know be really know me about the meeting.
I work all the bed so blunt and for day. He come out so. So when I did take and make my soup day, I did take up day where he find so. I know put something for day.
Okay, mommy, them say they didn't no get no fertilizer and joy.
No, I no boot something for day.
What's I work, mama?
Only my compound so you did the blend.
For inside for Bafu.
For Bafu there.
For inside
for Bafu.
Tango.
Mm-hmm. Okay, mommy, you work other thing there on only ginger.
I do work all thing. Cassava day. All my thing where I the blend I'm so I the blend my top for day with cassava. Oh.
Heading the women at the celebration ground was the Divisional Delegate of Women's Empowerment and the Family, Madam Aseni Cordelia, who threw small light on the reason for the celebration of the Rural Women Day and what the delegation is doing to empower women financially.
Okay, the Rural Woman actually has been brought to the limelight today. The Rural Woman of Bafut and Mezam Division as a whole have had the opportunity to see and to know what opportunities are out there for them. The theme for this year's celebration, which is Rural Women Access to Financial Resources in the Agricultural Sector, is very, very in place in that we have realized that the woman toils, yet she has so little profit because she lacks finances to boost up her activities. She lacks the necessary knowledge to see how she can go about improving her farming activities. I think that after listening to the different speakers, the radio programs we've been holding all through the week, I think the rural woman is now well equipped to be able to face the challenges ahead.
It was not just an event to educate women on how to use their farm produce to raise money and save in the various microfinance organizations present at the event, but it was also an event to educate rural women on hygiene while carrying out their activities. Lady Santana, a renowned Northwest artist, didn't just say the words, but also had this karaoke to remind the women of cleanliness, both in the farm, market, and not forgetting the home, which is most important.
Ololo iyo we, ololo iyo o, ololo iyo we, ololo iyo o. I no fit dey keep dirty, I dey cry massa. I no fit dey keep dirty iyo, I dey cry massa. I get for only was my seeking, for someone to love me. I get for only make nyanga, for someone to marry me. Ololo iyo we, ololo iyo o, ololo iyo we, ololo iyo o. That is encouraging the raw woman, not just go to the farm, come back, sleep without bathing. They should keep her feet, keep herself clean for somebody to admire her.
The day ended with a lot of prizes to women's groups with good yields and a tour and sales at the exhibition stands. This was opened by the senior divisional officer for Mezam, Felix Gelengele, in the presence of the Fund of Bafut, the divisional delegate for women empowerment and the family, and the third deputy mayor for Bafut, amongst other dignitaries. The ceremony was also highlighted by sketches, several talks from the microfinance organizations present, as well as the singing of the theme song for the Rural Women's Day, which is Rural Women access to financial resources in the agricultural sector.
Priscilla Ninge there enabling us to live some of the realities of rural women. Lem Sandra Fomujang shall be reading the letters we received this week after this transition. Amango of Mbengwe wrote in the first letter, wants Cameroonian authorities to understand that all lives are the same.
Hello, staff of Foundation Radio and all its listeners. I am pleased to write and express my feelings concerning the head of state declaring a day special in honor of all the pilgrims who died in Mecca. What is really the meaning of all this? Are these pilgrims more important than those who have died as a result of the Boko Haram attacks? Or even those who died trying to save our nation? Why was their own special day not declared and honored as these pilgrims? I don't understand, and that's why I am bothered.
Unfortunately, we are not in the president's head, and so only he alone can answer that worry, Amango of Mbengwe Road. And Celestine Tayong of Metau Quarters is already raising the alarm over water shortages, now a common phenomenon in Bamenda during the dry season.
Greetings to you all. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to write. We all are experiencing the gradual transition from the rainy to the dry season, so much heat and discomfort with the harsh climate. Unfortunately, we are beginning to experience water shortage. I have started seeing a lot of people moving with water containers either to or from fetching water. I just hope that Calm Water is doing all they can to ensure we don't witness the bad water situation as of last year. It was really a nightmare, and I don't wish to get there any longer.
That is the wish of all Bamenda city dwellers, Celestine Tayong of Metau Quarters. And Belmont Aze of Bambili feels government's action against street drugs is not enough.
Hi, News Extra crew of Foundation Radio. I feel so disappointed, and so I must let it out. How can the Ministry of Public Health, with the collaboration of communication companies, send messages to our phones warning against the use of street drugs? Yes, it is true we must be careful with the drugs we take and where we buy them, but is it not the government to curb this malpractice in society? What is stopping government from meting sanctions on those who sell drugs illegally? I can swear that unless the government comes in to stop the sales completely, citizens will continuously buy street drugs and the negative effects will never end. It is up to them to make the first move.
Truth is, if there is the political will, there will certainly be the way. Keep on sending your mail to radio.foundation@yahoo.com. That is our email, radio.foundation@yahoo.com. You can also call us or text us on the numbers 670-238045, 695-568480. And the News Extra crew shall be at your service. It is time for our weekly press review of some of the newspapers published in Cameroon this week. Atanga Tanashos visited the stands and has this summary.
The Horizon newspaper opens the review this week with this story about a double suicide bomb attack which claimed the lives of 11 people and seriously injured 29 others in the far north region in the morning breaking Sunday, 11 October, in the village of Kangaleri, some 85 kilometers from chief town of the far north region, Marwa. The paper says the first female bomber detonated the bomb, killing 9 on the spot in a tiny milk and donut restaurant. The second suicide bomber killed only herself. The paper adds that the Sunday's attacks are the 14 and 15 suicide attacks attributed to Boko Haram in far northern Cameroon since July, causing more than 100 deaths. Youssoufa Daoua, CPTM senator, drops dead. The paper reports that Cameroon's upper house of parliament is again in mourning as CPTM senator for the North region died last Sunday in Garoua following a brief illness. The Guardian Post says before his demise, the deceased senator Youssoufa Daoua on October 10 presided over a grand rally of CPTM Benue 1 and 2 sections, during which they addressed a motion of support to President Paul Biya for maintaining two of theirs, Yusuf Adija Alim and Alim Gaga Ayatu, in government. The senator was laid to rest the same day according to the Muslim tradition. The list of great Cameroonians passing into eternity continues, as the Horizon newspaper says. One of Cameroon's most celebrated news commentators and veteran journalist, Michael Sam Novella Fonkem, made a peaceful transition to eternity in Boya at the age of 62. He passed on at the Boya Regional Hospital on October 8, 2015 at about 7:30 p.m. after suffering from a long-time infection. Any newspaper, on its part, dedicates half a page about the life of the fallen journalist. The paper describes as dynamic and creative journalist. The list continues with the Guardian Post announcing the death of Second World War veteran Panji Bante Isaac Djibonkeng, father to Joseph Djibonkeng, a CRTV journalist. Nji Bante Isaac, born about 1912 in Fair Village, Nwa subdivision, Dunga Mountain of the Northwest region, fought on the Allied side during the Second World War. He died at the Banso Baptist Hospital on October 7 after a brief illness at the age of 103. Amamuna boycotts own installation as divisional president. The Guardian Post newspaper reports that the former Minister of Arts and Culture, who was fired from the government on October 2 for insubordination, has again performed another act of arrogance and defiance. The former minister boycotted her own installation in Bamenda as CPTM divisional president for Menchum. Among the seven who were to be installed by Dr. John Guti, only Ama was absent for an unexplained reason. Bloody Ngumba Pentecostal clash in Baba 1. The Guardian Post reports how an atmosphere of uncertainty looms in Ngonketunja division following last Sunday's bloody clash between four Ngumba members and Christians of Union Eglise Baptiste du Cameroun. The paper reports that four members of the traditional council known as Ngumba had their bath with acid from the Christians from the above-mentioned church as they went to enforce a decision taken by the fund to stop the unwanted activities of the church, such as shouting at night and violation of customs of the Baba One people. The Christians, who have been preparing for this attack, poured their ready acid on those three unfortunate ones, which may cause one to totally lose sight and the two others losing an eye each. The church was immediately burnt by the villagers, who say they saw packets of used and unused condoms. Eddie newspaper questions if new company will solve electricity problem as President Paul Biya signed a decree last week creating a new electricity company in the country known as National Electricity Transportation Corporation with French acronym SONATREL, which will be charged with the transportation and distribution of electricity. That's all we had time for this week. On to next week for what the papers would have said.
Yes, Atanga Atanasio's veteran journalist Sam Novella Fonkem is gone at a time when the pioneer of Anglophone journalism in Cameroon, Neba Fabs, will be buried this weekend. This week, our special correspondent Francis Nguaniba takes a look at scamming or confidence tricks, which is fast increasing among young Cameroonians as the internet globalizes communication. His paper is especially timely as the nation catches its breath, anxious to know the fate of one of its renowned and flamboyant music producers, Jean-Pierre Sarr of JPS Production. Here we go.
In his heydays, JPS Production, a music production house, had two offices in Douala and in Paris, with more than 50 employees. Owned by flamboyant playboy Jean-Pierre Sarr, JPS Production had almost every Cameroonian musician on its label, from Petit Pays to Tala André Marie. It even produced musicians from Congo and Ivory Coast and some other African countries. More than 10 years ago, JPS Production collapsed like a pack of cards with its promoter Jean-Pierre Sartre facing massive legal bills as he was dragged to court both in France and in Cameroon. It was an end of a big musical era in Cameroon. As I write this, the fate of Jean-Pierre Sartre is a bit confusing. Earlier newspaper and online reports claimed Jean-Pierre Sartre was supposed to land at the Douala International Airport yesterday, Friday, probably accompanied by an official from the Cameroon Embassy in the United Arab Emirates. The reports claim he will arrive Cameroon without his eyes after a Sharia court in the strictly Muslim UAE ordered them plucked out as punishment instead of him facing the death penalty. Jean-Pierre Sartre, according to the reports, apparently scammed millions of dollars from a rich sheikh in the UAE. He was caught, tried, and initially sentenced to death after he refused to hand back the spoils of his confidence trick. Apparently, this was not the first time JPS had been caught pants down scamming. Some close friends of the music mogul, including musicians, have jumped to his defense, insisting he still has his two eyes. He is in prison in UAE and was never handed to Cameroon embassy officials without his two eyes. Both conflicting reports, however, agree on one thing. Jean-Pierre Sartre is in prison and he was sentenced for scamming. Nkem'o, aka Okwa, is my best actor comedian from Nigeria. When he surprised everyone by moving away from films and doing some music and releasing this song, I Go Chop Your Dollar, Nigerian officials promptly banned it on state radio and television. They claimed the comedian was glorifying scamming and confidence tricks, from advance fee fraud to scam internet marriages, which had all given Nigeria a bad name. Things got so bad for the entire country that the government decided to run a campaign to cleanse its image internationally. The aim was to show the world not us were scammers, and there were still some honest, hardworking Nigerians. From all indications, the campaign was a waste of resources. Many young Cameroonians and other nationals have learned and perfected the art of scamming. Scammers sometimes get lucky and deceive greedy foreigners out of thousands and even millions of dollars. While some are successful, some other scammers end up in prison or even face death. A couple of years ago, four young Cameroonians were brutally killed in Holland. They had scammed money from some people there and, because of greed, went back to the same victims for more money. They were lured and killed like rats. A Cameroonian student doctor from Bamenda is still serving time in a Russian prison after uploading a photo of a Russian beauty and placing it on the internet, pretending to be the pretty girl. He scammed money off mostly British tutors who eventually got suspicious and reported their internet girlfriend, eventually unmasked and sent to prison. Many young people are easily lured into scamming when they see others with wads of money, expensive cars, and a bevy of girls. They easily forget the old adage, crime never pays. The long arm of the law eventually catches up with them. Back to our music promoter, Jean-Pierre Sartre. It will be a sad indictment and bad if he loses or has lost his eyes. If he hasn't lost his eyes, the years he will spend in prison for scamming will be gone for good. The more people believe in themselves, stand up and fight and avoid criminal get-rich-quick schemes, the better for everyone. I don't suffer, no be small. Often say I get sense.
Francis Nguaniba, unfortunately, Jean-Pierre Sartre is going the bad way of one of Cameroon's greatest scammers, Donatien, who died or was killed in an unknown foreign land. And to conclude this package of news extra, let's take a microphone into the streets to know what is on the minds of some Cameroonians.
Is the fact that cabinet reshuffle came in at the time that former ministers have embezzled enough and nothing has been done to retrieve all that money. So it's actually a little bit painful, and new people have come in to also steal theirs.
Just the issue of Boko Haram, which is really a burning issue in our country today. You know, we all live in fear. At times, you cannot even meet someone on the way and say hi because you are just afraid that a bomb can explode. So that's what was in my mind.
To have, I want to have a good husband who is caring. I want to have something doing that, at least it will help me with my family. I'm not really contented. That's what I'm want to further my education to become somebody in future. I'll help my family.
This evening that you have met me is about to go home and meet my family and have a good rest and think about tomorrow. What about my job? Because it's my job that is doing everything. It's just what I'm thinking, to go and have a good rest.
Mom, it's only about my children, their education, the present moment in school, that I'm still preparing some to go back in school, but I've not yet succeeded. So my worry about my mother is only about them and school and my grandchild.
There's a dissolution in our palace. I have a culture. Somebody, something tomorrow that will take care of it. So tomorrow, I will take off from here by 10 o'clock to the village. This is a traditional ceremony. We are going to take care of one chief like that had he died. So we are the kingsmaker. So tomorrow we'll be there to pay the traditional rite. That's what is on my mind for the meantime. And everything I'm doing today, my mind is already in the village. So that's all I have for now.
Some Cameroonians there airing out what is on their minds. We may be responsible for what we say, however, we are not responsible for what you understand. Same time next week for another edition of your magazine program, News Extra, on Foundation Radio, FM 100, Bamenda, Cameroon. I have been yours, Mokun Johnny Nelson. Accept my blessed regards.